Dear Heavenly Father, please be with us here today and drive out the forces of evil that are anxiously waiting to crowd in upon our minds and to block out your written word. Lord, we pray that you will speak to our hearts here, that the words that will be spoken will not be my words, Father, but they will be yours. Father, please guide and direct us. If we need to be corrected, then please correct us. Again, Lord, please be with us here today, and we pray in your name. Amen. I once read a poem that was called The Quilt of Holes. I actually don't know who the author is, but it went something like this. As I faced my Maker at the Last Judgment, I knelt before the Lord along with the other souls. Before each of us laid our lives like the squares of a quilt in many piles, an angel sat before each of us, sewing our quilt squares together into a tapestry that was our life. But as my angel took each piece of cloth off of the pile, I noticed how ragged and empty each of my squares was. They were filled with giant holes. Each square was labeled with a part of my life that had been difficult, the challenges and temptations I was faced with in everyday life. I saw hardships that I had endured, which were the largest holes of all. I glanced around me. Nobody else had squares like these. They may have had a tiny hole here or there, but the other tapestries were filled with rich colors and the bright hues of worldly fortune. And I gazed upon my own life and became very disheartened. Finally, the time came when each life was to be displayed and held up to the scrutiny of truth. The others rose, each in turn holding up their tapestries. So filled their lives had been. My angel looked at me and nodded for me to rise. My gaze dropped to the ground in shame. I did not have the earthly fortunes. I had love in my life and laughter, but there had been trials of illness. There had been false accusations that took from me my world as I knew it. I had to start over many times, and I often struggled with the temptation to quit. I spent many nights on my knees in prayer, asking for help and guidance in my life. Now I had to face the truth. My life was what it was. And I rose and I slowly lifted the combined squares of my life to the light. And an awe-filled gasp filled the air. I gazed around at the others who stared at me with wide eyes. And then I looked upon the tapestry before me. Light had flooded those many holes, creating an image which was the face of Christ. Then our Lord stood before me with warmth and love in his eyes, and he said, "Every time you gave your life over to me, it became my life, my hardships, and my struggles. Each point of light in your life is when you stepped aside and let me shine through you until there was more of me than there was of you." I think it is relatively safe to say that most of us here today have at some point reviewed our lives and found or remembered things that we wished we had done differently. Perhaps there were circumstances, a hardship or a trial that we would have liked to have skipped or rewritten if we had the chance to do so. Sometimes we may ask ourselves whether God has forsaken us as we look back at some of the struggles that we have gone through. Where were you? Do you remember where I am? If we were so favored, and God says that in his Bible that he's willing to bestow us with his blessings, then why would he allow us to walk through such dark valleys? The scriptures provide the life stories of Nebuchadnezzar and Jonah and many others as our answer to these questions. King Nebuchadnezzar. That's such a fun name to say, Nebuchadnezzar. But I find it interesting. He was the ruler of the then known world. One of the most renowned kings of ancient Babylon was granted all the material things the world had to offer. But he suffered from spiritual poverty as a result of his own pride. He failed to give God the glory for the possessions he had been given. He failed to acknowledge that the Lord, the High King of Heaven, had the ability to both place someone on the throne or in a position of power or to remove them. And we can find the story in Daniel, and if you'll turn with me to Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 10. And it reads, and Nebuchadnezzar is speaking. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. And then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. And Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate you, and the interpretation to your enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is you, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. That may seem a bit harsh when you first read it. But we can see that the Lord was very merciful, and he sought to warn King Nebuchadnezzar in advance of this vision ever coming to pass, that perhaps he would change his ways and honor the God of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar chose to forget the good counsel of his servant Daniel and the warning of the vision, and the vision came to pass. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar roamed more as a beast than as a man, until the day, in verse 34, when Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes to heaven, and his mind and reasoning were restored to him. And he blessed God and gave him the glory. It is not that God wants to put us through harsh trials. The scriptures tell us that he wants to bless his children and to give them the good things they desire. And we can find multiple verses for this in the Bible. Psalms 37:4. James 1:17, Matthew 7:11, and I'm sure there's a host of others. But there are times when we stubbornly refuse to learn the important life lessons we should and place ourselves in danger of self-exaltation, of forgetting how God has led us in the past and what he has done for us in our lives. Sometimes we try to take the place of God and try to lead our own lives. Sometimes we allow the defects of our characters, pride, for instance, to cloud our judgment, and slowly and almost imperceptibly, we discover ourselves entrapped in a cage of doubt and mistrust. It is important for us as Christians to remember that our conduct, and our defects of character may become a stumbling block for others as well. Scripture tells us that Jesus came to save the world, not to condemn it. He wants to save us. He wants to save you. Each and every one of you here today, he wants to see in his glorious kingdom. However, willfulness of spirit, anger, jealousy, greed, selfishness, and pride have no place in that heavenly city. And the Christian who earnestly seeks to pursue the path God has laid before them must undergo a sort of character refining process that sometimes can only be achieved through trials and hardships here. King Nebuchadnezzar learned about his character, and with the Lord's assistance, mercy, and grace, overcame his pride and is set as an example for us to follow. I do want to issue a word of caution before continuing. It is true that God allows his children to suffer hardships and trials, but he only does so when there is a beneficial consequence to us. In other words, something good would come from this hardship, a moral character development or a lesson, etc. He, in his mercy, would never needlessly allow us, if we are surrendered to him, to face hardships and trials. We must remember that, in the words of Ellen White, that there is an enemy who ever contends against us, presenting temptations to cause the soul to doubt and sin. Satan's trials and hardships are not meant to help us. They are meant to break us, which is why we must remain close to Christ and to submit to the path God has placed before our feet. Jonah is another example of someone who was self-willed, who thought to choose his own way as he rejected the commission given to him by God and to warn the city of Nineveh of the grave danger they would find themselves should they choose not to repent of their evil deeds. Oh, Jonah, I wonder if he really believed that he could outrun God, or that God would not know where to find him. I am fairly sure you know the story of how God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. You see, there was a lesson that God wanted and Jonah needed to learn. And through that trial, he would learn. But Jonah tells his story much more effectively than I ever could. So let us turn to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." I can't imagine being in the belly of a fish. My mind just can't seem to wrap itself around that concept. That must be terrible. What a trial indeed. And Jonah continued and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. That they observe lying vanities and forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Verse 9 is important. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Salvation is of the Lord." And as with Nebuchadnezzar, once Jonah recognized and acknowledged that God was the ruler of the heavens and the earth, the Lord delivered him from his trial, and the fish deposited Jonah onto dry land. There are others who also had undergone this character refining process. Moses, when he was driven from Egypt and traveled across the wilderness to Midian. Abraham, whose faith and trust in God was tested as he was asked to sacrifice his promised and much beloved son. Can you imagine the heartache and despair Abraham must have felt at that moment God asked, commanded the life of Abraham's son? How about David, whose sin cost him the life of his infant son, who had in a sense forgotten how privileged he was and how wonderfully God had blessed him and needed to be reminded by the prophet Nathan how dishonorable his actions were to God? Can you name any others? There are many, many examples. The purpose in relating these stories is to remind you that sometimes we need to be brought to a low point in our lives, our lives seemingly broken, before we are willing to lift our hands to God and truly surrender to him. And only then can he take those broken pieces of our lives, our own trials and hardships, heartaches, whatever they may be, and begin to mend them. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 reads, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." The Lord would never cause a wound or cause us to go through a trial that he did not intend for it to become better, that he wouldn't heal those wounds that we've received. He will keep his promises. Please do not lose heart. I don't know what trials you may be undergoing at this very moment, but God does. And even though you may be walking through a seemingly endless dark valley, it may be years before we learn the lesson that we are supposed to learn. The Lord will bring peace to that valley. He will, in his mercy and grace, create a more excellent character within us. consecrated to him and fit for heavenly company. Allow Jesus to guide you. Depend wholly upon him. Allow him to shine through you and your life, riddled though with hardships and trials it may be. And our lives will become a beautiful testimony of patience, faith, endurance, and love. May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, let us remember that as many as you love, you rebuke and chasten. Please teach us to, with patience and endurance, go through the trials that we are faced with. Please help us to learn the lessons that we need to learn, that your character will be more fully revealed within us, that we can shine your character to others. Father, we want to be with you. We want to come home. Please guide and direct us throughout the coming weeks. And may we be good soldiers for you. And we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.